Bear in mind, though, that the grantor of a trust is often the donor. So if Papa John makes the trust, often you will see contextually, in this example, he is the donor of the power. And then the trustee or the beneficiary of the trust is quite often, not always the case, the power holder or the donee. Okay. Now, according to common law, the powers of appointment were being exercised by someone whose property it was not. Okay? And that's best understood if Papa John was the donor and created a power of appointment for Carol to appoint property to anybody in this room, during Papa John's life or at his death, and that would be Carol not owning that property, but really just having the authority to appoint it. Now, because there's different kinds of powers out there, there are consequences that could impact Carol herself, and we'll go through that a little bit later on in the materials. But generally speaking, under common law, the holder of the power, the donee, would be appointing property that was not his or hers. Okay. Now, they're just a proxy, but the power itself, as you can start to think about this, is a very slick, very cool way to extend that flexibility, and we will learn the dignity of particularly special needs trust beneficiaries to have a measure of control over their legacy, perhaps made up of the leftover or remainder share of their trust fund. So we'll come back to that theme again and again. So let's go to the general power of appointment. We know that for purposes of federal estate tax considerations, there is an expression that says, if Papa John leaves or appoints, is appointing property either to himself, to his estate, or to his creditors, or to the creditors of his estate, then that is considered a general power of appointment. Okay. You can find the citations in the full text of the materials. Obviously, you're not going to find much on the PowerPoint in terms of citations. I just have a thing about writing a book and putting it up on the PowerPoint. I just don't think you guys want to read that. So when we're looking at special needs trust planning, and we're talking about a general power of appointment, remember, it's important that the beneficiary of a special needs trust not have a general power of appointment, as we'll learn that it may cause the entire trust estate to be considered an available asset, throwing that special needs trust beneficiary off Medicaid or SSI, or at least maybe lose SSI and have to reapply for Medicaid directly or something along those lines. Okay. One of the areas that's a little treacherous is when power holder has the authority to remove and replace another party, typically a trustee of the trust, of a trust. Special needs, I'm not always so sure, but certainly, I mean, it may not always be a special needs trust, but the power to replace the trustee could invoke the accessibility or the availability of that asset to belong to the beneficiary, unless that remove and replacement is limited to an independent trustee, like a corporate trustee, someone who's not under the tax wording related to or subordinate of. Okay? Think about related or subordinate as a spouse living together. Of course, children, parents, intuitively what you would imagine to be a relation or someone who is subordinate. But it could also include an employee of the beneficiary or the power holder who the beneficiary has either a controlling interest in the company that the person is going to be removed and replaced. So there are some areas of, careful consideration when we're putting in remove and replace language in the document. We have used, I'm sure, in other sections or sessions, trust protectors, trust advisory committees, and some of those folks have the power to remove and replace. And this is sort of another flashpoint for where the issue could be triggered. Okay. Now, a limited power of appointment is also known as a special power of appointment. And it's frankly any other appointment that's not a general. It kind of reminds me of the presumed maximum value of SSI or the one-third reduction. It's sort of it's the opposite of what the other is not. Anyway, special or limited could be very broad, is my point. And to illustrate that, a limited power appointment could be to anyone, the power holder could transfer or appoint property to anyone other than the power holder's self, his estate, his creditors, or the creditors of his estate. So that's a very broad range of what we would call permissible appointees, right? That's a very broad or general power, but it is not considered broad or general under the tax code for purposes, because we've eliminated creditors of the estate, or the power holder's himself to self-appoint.